The following teaching is a seventh in a series of eight entitled Gifts of the Spirit, presented by the Reverend John W. Howe. The title of this teaching is Gifts of Revelation.
Would you turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12? We've kind of worked all around this passage from time to time as we've considered over the last several weeks this business of the gifts of God's Spirit. This is the passage that people immediately come to. What I've tried to do is put it into a much broader context. But I want to look tonight, and in one more session after this one as well, with this first list of gifts in 1 Corinthians 12. It says, starting in verse 4, "Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. There are varieties of working, but it is the same God who inspires them all in every one." All and every. Those are key words there. All and every. The same God inspires them all in every one. I trust we've really made that point by now. That if you belong to the Lord Jesus, if you have His Holy Spirit, then He has gifted you. There is no doubt about it. You may not know what all of your gifts are. You may need the other members of the body of Christ to help you discover and to develop some of those gifts. It may be that He would have you move into new gifts. But we mustn't divide the body of Christ into those who are gifted and those who aren't. The same God inspires them all in every one. If you belong to Him, you are a gifted Christian. And He's gifted you for the purpose of blessing first Himself and then others, and in the process you'll be blessed out of your socks. Priscilla does that every week. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are inspired by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as He wills. Now, I trust that if you've followed this far, I've convinced you that these are not the nine gifts of the Spirit. As the passage is so often interpreted, these are the nine gifts, that's all there are, there ain't no more. No, that's not it at all. There are many, many, many gifts of the Spirit. These are some of the gifts. These are what the gifts are like. This is a suggestive list. This is a representative list. But in saying that it's not an exhaustive list, I don't want us to overlook the fact that it is an instructive list. All right? It is instructive. And the way that this list is usually divided, I think, is somewhat helpful. It's usually divided into three subgroups. And the three subgroups are not in the order that those are listed, but they sort of cluster together as gifts which are related to each other. And the three categories are gifts of inspiration or revelation. Gifts of inspiration, gifts of revelation, and gifts of power. Gifts of inspiration, gifts of revelation, and gifts of power. The gifts of inspiration are prophecy, tongues, and interpretation. As God inspires His people, as He brings a message from His very throne room to His people, either a prophetic word, or when you have the gift of tongues and the gift of interpretation working together as a vehicle for a kind of prophecy. God is inspiring His people with His word, direct, as it were, from His throne. I think we've spoken about those to this point. I trust we've dealt with that. I want to just make a couple of major generalizations tonight and next week or whenever we get to it about the other two categories, gifts of revelation, and then gifts of power. Tonight, gifts of revelation. The gifts of revelation are wisdom, knowledge, and discernment. First of all, we need to say that these are not simply human brilliance or human study. It's not human knowledge. It's not human wisdom. They are supernatural gifts from God. They're supernatural revelation of God's perspective. It's either a matter of facts that we've never learned, or it's assessments or judgments that we're incompetent in and of ourselves to make. Let me give you some examples. I think the best way is to look to the example of Jesus himself. You remember Jesus with the woman at the well? Remember, he comes into Samaria and he sits down and he meets this woman who is little better than the town tramp. And he strikes up a conversation with her. He asks her for a drink of water. She's astonished that he speaks to her at all. And as the conversation unfolds, it comes to the point where he says, "Go and call your husband." Remember the story in John chapter 4. And she says, "Sir, I have no husband." And Jesus says, "Well, that's true. Of course, you've had five already. And the guy you're living with in sin. But you've told me the truth." Now, I don't know how you read that passage. I can hardly help from smiling when I read that, you know. You just have to see a kind of a quizzical expression on Jesus' face. He is not putting her down. He's not making fun of her. But she's not fooling him for 1 minute, see. He knows what she's about. He loves her in spite of who and what she is. But it's that word that you've told me the truth. You've had five husbands and you're living in sin now. That absolutely spins that woman around. She runs back into the town. She says, "Come, you must meet a man who told me everything I ever did. Could he be the one?" She becomes virtually an evangelist. Because Jesus spoke a word of knowledge which he never learned from anybody else. The Father gave it to him. All right? It's a supernatural piece of information, a fact which he never learned, which God gave him directly. Same thing in Acts, the early chapters, I think it's chapter 5, where Ananias and Sapphira come in, and they claim to have sold everything, and they're bringing their gift to God. And Peter says, "No, you've lied to the Holy Spirit. You've kept back part for yourself." There's nothing wrong with holding back. It's the lying about it that was blasphemy against God. Peter could not have known that except God gave him a word of knowledge. You remember God telling Moses at one point, fairly early on as they're traveling through the wilderness and they have no water. They come upon a little pool and people are so grateful, they're just about dying of thirst. They start to drink it and it's terribly brackish. And God says to Moses, "Take that tree and throw it into the water, and it will become sweet again." Now, you may read that as some kind of a supernatural tree that healed the water. I don't. It is a matter of fact that there are certain trees that will turn brackish water sweet again. They know that in Africa. We ran into it. What was happening in that passage was that God gave Moses knowledge of which tree. It's not that it was a supernatural tree, it's that God supernaturally gave him knowledge of the tree which worked. Okay? You follow what I'm saying? I had a young lady ask me to pray for her a few weeks ago after one of our Tuesday luncheons. And she was very troubled, very burdened. I'd never met her before. And I was praying for her, and as I was praying, just that God would kind of take away the burden, whatever it was, there was such an overwhelming sense that the problem was with her father, that I almost said it to her in that way, that God would say to you that the problem is with your father. But I was hesitant. I was shy of being so strong. I'd never laid eyes on her before. So after we got done praying, I just said, "How's your relationship with your dad?" And she turned absolutely white as a sheet, burst out crying, racking sobs, and a key was turned in a lock that began some things, and I can't go on to tell you the rest of the story. The point is, God gave that, you know. And it was infinitely more powerful because he gave it than had it come through some sort of a counseling session. She knew it was from him. You follow what I'm saying? I've been on the receiving end of that too, I might add. Some of you have heard me tell the story. Karen and I went forward for prayer one day at a particular church. We were wrestling with a problem of being continually abused by the kids in the school where we were house parents. Kids taking advantage of our hospitality. And, you know, that's great to a point, but it just was constant. It was 24 hours a day. It was, may I use your telephone? May I raid your icebox? May I watch your television? Will you drive me over to the other school where I can meet my boyfriend? You know, da-da-da-da-da-da. And finally, we were at the point of saying, you know, we got to draw some lines here. You know, we got to protect ourselves. You know, God doesn't want us just to be doormats. In fact, we have a responsibility to train these kids, to show some respect. And we went to this church, and God was very much speaking to us through the service, and we went forward for prayer at the close of the service. And one of the ministers who knew absolutely nothing of what we were wrestling with came up to us, put his hands, one on each of us, and there was this long, very awkward silence. I opened my eyes. I wondered if he had died or something. And it was clear that he was struggling with what he was about to say. And finally he said, I offer this to you in love. And I hope you'll receive it that way. I can only tell you what I'm hearing. And then he alluded to the same story that I've already mentioned. He said there was a couple named Ananias and Sapphira, and they held back. If you know the story, you know what happened to them. They carried Ananias out and they carried Sapphira out right after him. God would say to you, don't hold back. I've chosen you as vessels of my love. He had no idea what we were wrestling with. That was a word of knowledge. God gave that to him. It was supernaturally given. A word can come in lots of ways. You need to be aware of that. It finally comes out as a word. But it might be as a vision. It might be in a dream. It might be an impression. I know people who are given, literally given, Bible verse references. And then they look them up, you know, and that speaks in the most remarkable way. I have never had that happen, but I've known several people who have. And the Word of God written speaks remarkably to the particular situation in which they find themselves. I was praying for an elderly man one day, and he began to tell his story, and as it came out, he was incredibly wounded in his spirit, because as a youngster, his dad had never taken any interest whatever in his sports, and he was quite an athlete as a youngster. In fact, he became a star basketball player in his local situation. And his father never went to one single game. Not one. And he tried to excuse his dad, you know, make excuses. Well, my father was very busy, you know, he had to earn a living and da-da-da-da-da-da. It was obvious that he had been deeply, deeply wounded by that experience. And that had festered literally all his life as an elderly man. That was still a problem to him. And as we were praying with him and for him, I suddenly had a vision, a picture in my mind. It was absolutely vivid. It was technicolor. Here he was as a youngster playing basketball, and there seated in the stands, applauding wildly, was the Lord Jesus. And I just shared that with him. Several of us were praying with him. And of course, we all dissolved in tears. And suddenly, to see the Lord Jesus giving him the love, the affirmation, the applause. He wasn't even aware of it. But the Lord Jesus was loving him with father love when his own dad was neglecting that. Worked tremendous healing in him. I believe that's a word of knowledge. It comes in a variety of ways. Knowledge is a fact which you have never studied, you have never learned, and God gives it to you either for yourself or for another. Wisdom, it seems to me, similarly, is not just my own human brilliance, you know, that I am so incredibly intelligent. Wisdom is, again, a supernatural gift from God, and the best example of it, I think, is in the life of Jesus, the ministry of Jesus. We see that operating in numerous instances. You remember the day that they tried to trap him? They brought a coin, and they challenged him and said, should we pay taxes or not? And he said, give me a coin. He said, whose image is on it? Caesar's. And he said, well, then render to Caesar what is his, and to God what is his. It's a marvelous answer. Because if what belongs to Caesar is that which is stamped with his image, then what belongs to God is that which is stamped with his image. And you and I are made in the image of God. You see what's being said? Go ahead, give Caesar his money. He can have it. Give God yourself. Right? But the footnote on the story is, and nobody dared ask him any more questions after that. They were astonished at his wisdom. That's what the scripture says. They were astonished at his wisdom, and nobody dared to ask him any more questions after that. You read that over and over and over. They give him a question, a trap, and Jesus comes out with wisdom that is more than human. It's the gift of God operating in the situation. I think you see that among the apostles, the Council of Jerusalem, Acts chapter 15, where they're wrestling with the question of what do we do about Gentiles who want to be Christians. And you can go back and read that story sometime. They were arguing back and forth all over the place. There were as many different opinions as there were apostles. And they're quoting Old Testament scriptures at each other, and they're quoting experience at each other. And finally, James speaks, and he says, it seems to me that God would have thus and so, and immediately he gives his answer, there's unanimity. And they publish a letter, and what they say is, it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us. It seemed good to the Holy Spirit. What James was speaking was not just his own brilliant idea. It was the Holy Spirit's wisdom into that situation. And as soon as the Holy Spirit's wisdom was given, it rang true, and they were in agreement. And they made the decision. Principle of unanimity is one that we have worked with here at Truro, and we've seen over and over and over again as we've laid aside our own opinions, our own vested interests, and we've asked God to give his answer, that his wisdom comes into that situation. And sometimes it absolutely astonishes us, because out of all the opinions that have been on the table, this was not one of them. You know, it was God's answer. God giving his wisdom when we're willing to put our own wisdom aside and wait for him. I think it's interesting that most Christian bodies don't wait long enough. You know, what they do is they vote and the majority opinion carries the issue. Whereas our experience has been, if we're willing to wait upon God, he can give us his wisdom if that's what we're seeking. Waiting, by the way, is not necessarily a matter of time. It's a matter of attitude. You know, what we're waiting upon God means, Lord, you speak. And when we ask him to, he can and he does. Karen spoke a few weeks ago about the gift of discernment. And even more, perhaps, than these other two, it's something utterly supernatural. It's the God-given ability to distinguish, is this of the Holy Spirit or is this of a quite unholy spirit? Not everybody has the gift of discernment. There are questions that we can ask, given in the New Testament, about spirits. You know, does this spirit confess that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh? That's a question we could ask to help to determine whether or not this spirit is from God. But above and beyond that kind of a grid, God gives to some a gift somewhat similar to the gift of knowledge or to the gift of wisdom, a gift of discernment, a wisdom or a knowledge about this specific question. Now, what I want to say about all that is just this. You sometimes hear it said that spiritual gifts operate independently of the intellect. That's not true. These gifts do not operate independently of the intellect. They originate elsewhere than in the intellect. But God speaks through our minds, speaks through our understanding, and gives these gifts. I become aware of the supernatural revelation of the Spirit of God of things that I couldn't otherwise know or understand. And most of the time, the place I think where this operates for us, if we're looking for it, if we're available to God for this kind of gift, is in ministering to each other. And as God leads you into situations where somebody shares a problem with you, and that will certainly happen sooner or later, a member of your family, a member of your shepherd group, a member of the body of Christ will come and turn to you and share a problem. I would just encourage you to ask God to give you His wisdom, His knowledge, His discernment into the situation. Most ministers have not learned this trick. They spend hours playing amateur psychologist, you know, trying to get to the root of the thing out of my asking questions and my massaging around in the psyche of this other person. What I've found is that there's a certain validity to that to a point, but boy, can the Spirit of God cut through wasted time and effort by simply saying, let's go to prayer. Let's ask God about that. Let's see if God would have a word for us. And as we turn to the Spirit of God, you'd be surprised how often He can. Totally unexpected. You know, you weren't even talking along that line, and yet He brings something to your mind, or maybe even to the mind of the person who came looking for help, that just unlocks the situation in the most lovely way. So I would challenge you to be expectant, to be eager, and to be available to the Lord to manifest Himself in this way as needed if He chooses. I come back to where I've been in each of these lectures. If the Holy Spirit has you, then He can manifest Himself through you in whatever way He wishes if you're open to Him. And I believe that one of the ways that He wishes is with revelation gifts, with gifts of wisdom, gifts of knowledge, gifts of discernment to bless the body of Christ. Let's bow and ask Him to settle this word in our minds and hearts as He sees fit. Father, give us boldness to believe that You would give us caution not to run ahead of You, to share what seems to be from You in a very tentative way. I think the Lord is saying this. Does it ring true? But Lord, give us expectancy to see You moving more and more decisively as we open our minds and hearts to You, to bless us and to bless others with words of wisdom and knowledge and discernment that come from Your very throne. Manifest Yourself in our midst to the praise of Your name, to the blessing of Your people, for Jesus' sake. Amen.